Baruch Hashem, things are okay. How about you? Good. Okay, we'll begin with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, a very famous Gemara. Omer Rabbi Avo on Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Omru Malachi Asharis Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. Mipnei Ma Ein Yisrael Omrim Shiro Lefanecha. B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. We say Hallel on every Yom Tov, but not on Rosh Hashanah. And not on Yom Kippur. The underlying assumption here is that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur no less than a Yom Tov than any other Yom Tov. And so it engenders a Chiyuv Hallel. Amolehem Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Din V'Sifrei Chayim V'Sifrei Mesim Psuchim Lefanov V'Yisrael Omrim Shira. HaKadosh Baruch responds with a rhetorical question. We're in a state of Ema V'Yira and Pachad. How can we possibly recite Shira? And in that context, the Rambam writes that the reason why Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur do not engender a Chiyuv Hallel is because the Simcha on these days is incomplete. And what I'd like to do is spend some time addressing this issue of the seemingly contradictory emotions that we have on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on the Day of Din. On the one end, we're overwhelmed with Ema V'Yira, Malachim Yechavezun, V'Chilu Rada Yechazemun. On the other hand, it's a day of Simcha. The Gemara assumes that we should be saying Hallel on this day like any other Yontif. The Rambam paskins that if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is in Avil during Shiva, and then in Pagal Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, it's Mevatel his Avelus. So we definitely have a day that's invested with Simcha. How does a person on a psychological level have these two emotions coexist? On the one end, you know, we feel regret, we feel remorse, charot al ha'avar. We ask so many questions about ourselves. How are we capable of falling so short in terms of our obligations? So we're full of fear. But on the other hand, we want to start a new year. We want to come with a sense of simcha. And what I'd like to do is study with you, first and foremost, some Chassidish Torah from the Slonim Rebbe, and then come back to the beginning of our parsha, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, and see if we can come up with some sort of a working, you know, a paper, so to speak, that would tell us, how do we do this? How do we move forward? One of the most emotional and profound sentences or verses that we find over and over again on a daily basis, and certainly on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and at Tfilos, and amongst the Sfaradim, they stand for this: Hashem Molach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voet. So the Slonim Rebbe says the following, that you have to be very careful about how you punctuate the Mem Lamed Chaf. He says the following: the first Hashem Melech is with a segel, and it's Lashon Hove. God is the king now. And then Hashem Molach with a comments under the mem, and that refers to the past. And finally, Hashem Yimloch referring to the future. So it's interesting, instead of going in, shall we say, chronological progression, past, present, and future, we start with the present, and then we go to the past and to the future. Says the Rebbe that this pasuk, at one level, again, you know, Shivim Panim LaTorah, could be understood as reflecting the state of man and the moment in which he experiences a true, genuine feeling of tshuva. And he declares, you know, I'm fighting with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is trying to get the best of me. But Hashem, you are the king. Hashem Melech with a segel, the Lashon Hove. And if that be the case, when a man reaches this level of Gvura, in which he's able to overcome and rise above all the temptations around him, that surround him, at that moment, he reaches the declaration of Hashem Melech, and he has a fear of God. He stands in awe of Hashem. He, in that state of awe, he overcomes the Yetzahara, and he wants to. His will is to fulfill and comply with the will of God. That experience of Gvura, when a person successfully overcomes the influences around him and all those temptations and inclinations, that moment when he declares Hashem Melech has a tremendous impact. It's a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. He's accepting upon himself the kingship of Hashem. Hashem is the Melech. And as a result, he is Zoche, he merits fixing up, rectifying Hashem Moloch, meaning if in the past he was not able to do so, he was not successful in his wrestling match with the Yetzer Hara, and he did not express in his actions the Malchus of Shamayim, Hashem Moloch. Retroactively, says the Rebbe, he rectifies, he fixes up where he messed up in the past, and it's Hashem Moloch. God, you were the king in the past. And finally, as a result of Hashem Melech, again in the Hoveh, it's Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vod. He says that the Kavolos Ol Malchus Shamayim here, at that moment that he declares, God, you are the king, I stand in awe of you, I fulfill your Ratzon against all the influences. At that moment, he is projected to the future. The Kavolos Ol Malchus Shamayim will have an impact down the line. He says it will be a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim HaMiskayemes Li'olam Vo'et. He made that choice decision, and now, through that Bechira, it's Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'et. And if you would allow me just for a moment to embellish what I think the Rebbe is saying here, is that all time dimensions converge into one. You know, even Gaviral is famous for his poem as saying, Hove Kerif Ayin. You know, this moment is, at the moment, the second you think about it, it's gone already. But in truth, it's just the opposite. Everything, the past and the future, is all collapsible and collapses into the one moment now. Everyone asks the question, how can a person do tshuva? I sinned in the past. Can you undo the past? The past is forever engraved in history. No one could go back in a time machine and change the past. And for that matter, my life is one continuous chain of challenges. How can my present have any impact on the future? But the answer is that the Torah has a different philosophy of time. In the halachic view of time, and the Rav expands on this in his Ish Halakha, it's not three different time zones. I can impact on the past because the past exists now. Insofar as it impacts on my relationship to God now, the past is very much alive and well. And not only that, my actions of today will have long repercussions down the line for the future as well. But yet God gives me the challenge and the ability to do tshuva now, to be mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim at this moment with awe and reverence, to absolutely commit myself, the Rambam's language at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, v'yod olav yodea talumos, that the yodea talumos is able in a sincere moment of tshuva to testify about this person, because past, present, and future are all one. And therefore, says the Rebbe, when I declare Hashem Melech now, that cuts me off from any rebellion in the past. I now have Hashem Moloch, and I'm able to change the past, because the past, as it, insofar as it impacts on me now, as far as part of the Hoveh, I've actually changed, I've altered it. I now have Hashem Moloch. And the same is true in terms of the impact I can have on myself as a person as I travel through time in this physical dimension of reality in terms of what's going to happen down the line. So on both sides, what we're really saying is that in the process of tshuva, in the process of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim and overcoming temptation to be dedicated to Hashem, we are no longer shackled by other dimensions of time. We sort of cut ourselves off from time, and we exist just now in this moment. I mean, you're already, I'm sure, guessing how I'm going to attach this to Parshas Nitzavim. I mean, you don't have to be brilliant to understand the word Hayom and significance. You know, they say in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe that he says people think there are, how many mitzvahs are there? 613. No, that's a mistake. There's one mitzvah, the mitzvah that you have now. You have to exist in the present. That's your challenge. And I want to quote to you another insight of the Slonim Rebbe in his Sefer Divrei Shmuel, but this time it's not for Rosh Hashanah but for Parshas Metzora. In Parshas Metzora, the Torah says in the purification of the Metzora, Zos Tiyah Torah HaMetzora Biyom Taharasa. The emphasis on the word Biyom, this is the day of his purification, the now. Says the Rebbe, there's a very unique idea here that the Torah is trying to convey in the parish of Taras Metzora. That what should be primary in his mind when he comes to purify himself? Yom Taharasa, the day of his Tara. And I want to read to you the Rebbe's language. It's very profound. He says, Bal Yavit Yoser Midayala Avar. Let him not be overly obsessed with the past. The Yamik Machshavto B'Maisav Haroim Chas V'Sholom, he tries to dwell and lives in the past, thinking about all the falls that he had and the deficits and where he messed up. No. He shouldn't be focused on the past. And not only that, he says Bal Yege, he shouldn't be constantly emotionally thinking, involved, intellectually. I'm here, I am today, bringing my carbon as a taras and mitzvah, but what's going to be tomorrow? I'll be again beset by the same thing. How many of us could testify that when we go into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say, Hashem, I'm going to be better next year, and like we're almost laughing at ourselves because we're so nervous, if we want to be honest with ourselves, that the same temptations are going to bring us down like they did last year. Says the Rebbe, forget those machshavos. Chuck them overboard. Tie them into a package and put them into deep freeze. Lock them up in a good safe. He says, im kacha yaseh, if he's going to dwell on the past and on the future, it's not going to be good. Yoshis nichecho el yom tarosu bilvad, let him focus on this moment. Ato with an ayin. Chazal say that whenever you see the word ata with an ayin, it's referring to tshuva. Ata, nasna li atara senu akdosha. I have to sense the great opportunity that God gave me on this day. Rishus, he gave me permission. Lilmod, lispalel, v'lasas nachas ruach lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is my essence, this is my life. All these opportunities I have today. Zeh hayom osa Hashem. If we come with the philosophy of today is the day, is then nagila v'nismecha bo, instead of being depressed about the past and pressured and nervous about the future with all those anxieties, ain't a love lishka v'machshavos min ha'avar ve'asid asher yakvenu mi bavodes Hashem yisparach ha'ikir hu biyom ta'araso. The primary focus now is on today. I don't think the Rebbe is denying what it says in the Rambam, that there are two major parts to tshuva. One is nechama or charat al avar, and the other is azivas achet. I mean, for sure the Rebbe knows that. He's not oblivious to the requirement to regret the past. But you know what? Psychologically, we have to ask ourselves the following question. In that psychological state of regret, are we happy? The Torah says, Ivdus Hashem b'simcha. The mitzvah of tshuva, like any other mitzvah, has to be done b'simcha. Adarab, with a great simcha, because God gave you the privilege and the capacity to do tshuva. What greater gift could there be from Almighty God? So it's got to be b'simcha. Yom HaKippur is a day of simcha. Rosh Hashanah is a day of simcha. So how do I reconcile the requirement of tshuva of charat al ha'avar? You know, I'm beating my breast feeling awful. How did I do this? You know, the Baal Chayyadim says in his tefillah zaka, which some have the minhag of reciting going into Yom Kippur, Tamei al nafshi. I can't believe my own nefesh. Eich nasa to'ev azos. How did I do something so repulsive? How did I rebel and undermine the will of God? And to say that and at the same time be in a state of simcha? How do we reconcile that? I have the same kash on Avelus, but that's not for now. But with regard to tshuva and charata, where's the simcha? And I think the answer lies in these two words in the Torah, b'yom ta'arasa. Hashem melech. On the yom ta'ara, that's all I do is declare Hashem melech. I cut out everything. I realize that whatever I did in the past, I now have the power and the ability to rectify. I'm b'simcha. Why am I b'simcha? I heard from the Rav many times, the concept of simcha and halacha is identical with lifnei Hashem. V'samachta lifnei Hashem elokecha. I realize that when I do tshuva, it's lifnei Hashem. How does the pasuk say with regard to Yom Kippur? Lifnei Hashem titaru. Al cheshe chatani lufanecha, but now I'm coming lufanecha to do tshuva, to accept your will. You are my sovereign king. That I do b'simcha. So now my level of regret, my experience of charat al over, is a whole different experience. It's not something depressing and despondent that freezes a person. My anticipation of the future is not anxiety ridden and I've got to take anxiety pills. That's not what it's about. That's antithetical to simcha. That's not what tshuva is all about. Tshuva means I look at the past objectively and I say, you know what? I regret the fact that I missed opportunities. I go back into the past only to project me into the future, to realize that what I couldn't grapple with and overcome before, those temptations, now I'm ready to do so. And I declare Hashem Melech. And in that context, Hashem Moloch. And Hashem Yimloch, we all invite it. The pasuk says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Hayom is a bris. And Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, Rashi says all the generations, Asid Leos, it's all Hayom, we're all connected on this one day, past, present, and future. And the famous comment in the Zohar, that Atem Nitzavim Hayom, what is Hayom referring to? What day? Da Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is an island in time. It's Hayom. It's a moment in time in which I can address all the dimensions of time, all my experiences, because I redefine my essence. I'm focused on today. This is my Yom Ta'araso. This is the day on which I declare Hashem Melech. And it's fascinating to me that if you look in Rashi at the beginning of Eov, if you remember that that Eov, the Tanakh, testifies that he had Yemei Mishta with his family and so forth and so on. And Vehishkim Baboker, Eov would wake up early in the morning and he would bring Mispar Olos, Ki Omar Eov Ulai Chatu Bonai, maybe my children have sinned, so he brought Karban Olos. And then the next Pasuk, which is Eov Aleph Pasuk Vav, Vayehi Hayom. Fayavo bnei Elohim lisyatze v'adonoi. Fayavo gam asotan betocham. The malachim come, and there's going to be a whole debate here with, between the malachim, the sanigorim, and the malachim mekatrigim, and the satan. And they're going to bring certain merits in front of the kisei hakavod of Eov. They're going to bring certain chovos that he has, and then there's going to be a whole judgment here, and that's the rest of Eov and all the suffering and so forth and so on. Says Rashi, what is the word Hayom here in this pasuk? Vayhi Hayom. I mean, especially according to that one man, the Omer, that says the entire parish of Eov is Lohoi V'lo Nivra. It's all just a mashal. Says Rashi, Vayhi Hayom. Just like we saw in the Zohar, and Parshas Nitzavim, Hayom is referring to Rosh Hashanah. Says Rashi, Oso Hayom, Hoya Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. And Rosh Hashanah is the day in which the Bnei Elohim are going to bring in front of the Kisei HaKavod the Zchusim and the Chovos. This is the day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Hayom. If there's any day in the Jewish calendar year in which man is called upon to exist in that day, on that moment, to the exclusion of the past and the future, it's Rosh Hashanah. Our avodah on Rosh Hashanah is the avodah of Hayom. Hayom means I am going to declare now today, Hashem Melech, God, you are my king. That's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. And if that be the case, Rabbosai, we have a fascinating integration of two, at the face of it, mutually exclusive emotions. On the one hand, Ema v'Yira, we stand in front of the Melech with awe, with trembling. We realize how immense this moment is. And yet at the same time, B'Simcha, it's a moment in which I feel so happy because I realize that now I'm ready for a commitment on this day, at this moment, that's going to impact on the past and on the future. And Rabbosai, what I'd like to learn with you today is a piece in the Shem Mishmuel, the Sukkot of a Rebbe. The Shem Mishmuel in Parsha Shlach asks a very, very famous question. There seems to be a contradiction between two statements of Chazal. The first statement is the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says, I'm sorry, the Medrash Tanchuma I meant to say. The Tanchuma says, one pasuk says, Yisa Hashem Ponav Eilecha, that God favors you. The Kosevech, and another pasuk says, Asher Lo Yisa Ponim, God doesn't have any favoritism. And the Medrash reconciles this apparent contradiction, Ose Tshuva Nose Lo Ponim. There's a special gift of Nesias Ponim Yisa Hashem Ponav Eilecha through Tshuva. Yachalakol, is this universal? Does this apply to all of mankind, or is it a unique Jewish gift? Talmud Lomar, right? The pasuk says, "Yisa Hashem Ponav Eilecha, Eilecha V'lo LeUma MeUmos HaOlam." Vaistais, we see from this that Tshuva is a power that brings that Nesias Ponim that was granted to the people of Israel to the exclusion of the other nations of the world. So the question is obvious. Tshuva is not unique to the Jewish people, it's universal. For example, he says, Dora Mabul, Noach was called upon to work on the Teva for 120 years so that everyone would see what he's doing, ask what it's all about, the Mabul's going to come, maybe they'll do Tshuva. The Geshem comes down for 40 days, slowly the water level is rising, hopefully they'll do Tshuva. In the Dara Floga, it says Viata, and the Medrash says Ein Viata Loshen Tshuva. The Dara Floga did Tshuva. Even in the case of Paro, the first five Makos, he was being called upon to do Tshuva. And what about Maftir Yonah? What about Nineveh? Their Tshuva saved and staved the judgment of death and the decree of God for the entire place. It's clear that Tshuva is not just a gift to the Jewish people, but rather it's universal. And like a true Lamdim, the Sukkot of a Rebbe says, Yeshnei Mini Tshuva. There are two categories of Tshuva. I would love to switch the order in which he presents it, just for the purpose of the way I want to use the Shem Yishmua, but let's be loyal to the Shem Yishmua. He says, Yesh Tshuva number one, Lahaschil legamrei michadash kekaton shenola adami. I cut myself off entirely from the past. I'm a brand new creature, a transformation, a new birth. You know, I'm reminded here in the context of the Shem Yishmuel of the Rambam, who says that midarki atshuva hashav mishana shmo, he changes his name. I don't know anyone who did so, but if you do so, you're following the dictum of the Rambam. The Rambam says, klomar, what does it mean to change your name? Big deal. Says the Rambam, klomar, eini oso ha'ish, I'm not the person I was before, I have a new identity. That's what tshuva is. And the ability of man and his capacity to transform himself and start like a cotton shinola dummy, says the Rebbe, al tnai zeh, quoting a Medrash Rabbah, nivra olam, that this tshuva was created before the universe is concerned. It's built into the nature of the universe. And he says it's universal. Anyone who's able to achieve this level of tshuva and recreate himself, kikot shenola dami, doesn't matter whether he's Jewish or not Jewish, he has tshuva. And then he says that there's another type of tshuva. The other type of tshuva does not exist It's exclusive to the Jewish people. That he calls tshuva pshuta. What does that mean, tshuva pshuta? I would call it tshuva by rules and regulations. That's what I would call it. In other words, you follow the rules of tshuva. Aziva sachet, v'charot al avar. And this is not the tshuva that preceded the creation of the world, that's built into nature, that God created the world conditionally on the tshuva. That's the first tshuva. But rather, this is a tshuva that's granted to Klal Yisrael as a special gift to prevent punishment, to offer a kapara. And that, he says, doesn't exist in the Umas HaOlam. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. Elecha means the Jewish people. That all I did was Charat Alavar, Azivas Hachet. I haven't really started my life again. I haven't recreated myself like a Kadosh Shenolad dummy. It's not the tshuva of Kadma Liolam, but rather, that's the tshuva that needs Nesias Panim, you know, a special favoritism that Hashem displays towards His chosen people. In other words, every human being can achieve the Hayom philosophy and cut himself off completely from the past and from the future, in a sense. Meaning, he can recreate himself. Eini Oso Ha'ish, as we saw in the Rambam. That's universal. That applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. And every human being, therefore, is called upon to do tshuva, the tshuva of this profound level of beginning anew. Laschil michadash. And the Rebbe quotes a phrase that he heard from his Rebbe, that tshuva is not like a bandage, you know, that you put over your over your cut, which doesn't really help you much, it just protects you. That's a superficial level tshuva. He says, no. Tshuva in its profound state is like, chas v'shalom, a person who falls off a roof and all his bones are broken, and he basically has to go to a physician or to the hospital, and they have to start from scratch and put him together again. He needs lahasig evarim chadoshim, tzarech lahaschil michadosh. That's that kind of thing where a bandage is not going to help you because your whole body needs healing. That is indicative and symbolic of the highest level of tshuva, of recreation, of transformation, of being kikotin shenolat dami. That requires a profound experience of tshuva. And how beautiful are the words of the Rambam in the seventh perek of Hilchas Tshuva, and the Rambam describes what it means to be a Baal Tshuva. Says the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Hilchas Tshuva, Alocha Zayin, Kama, Me'ula, Mailas HaTshuva. Emesh, let's look at this man yesterday. Emesh means last night. Hoyezeh Muvdol Me'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He's distanced himself from God. Shenemar, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi, Avanoseichem ayum avdilim beineichem levein alokeichem. To what extent is he removed from God through his sins? Soek veina one. He cries out to Hashem and there's nobody's home. Shenemar gam ki hiru tefila neni shomea. Osem mitzvos v'tarfen osam lefanav. God kaviyachol throws them back in his face. Shenemar mi bikeish zos miyedchem ramos chatzerai. You know, it's like the Russia who brings the karbonos. God says, I'm not asking for that. It's meaningless. Zerach rishon toeva. So let's look at the description of the Rambam of Emesh of what this person was just a few seconds ago. Vayom. Again, I emphasize that word vayom. Ze hayom tchilas maasecha. Hayom yidit tshuva. He's connected to the Shechina. He does mitzvos, he cries out to Hashem, everything's accepted. And what happened between last night and today? Emesh? and Hayom. The answer is the Hayom philosophy kicked in. He's Kikot and Shenolad. He's a different person. And in this new identity, it's just the opposite of what he was yesterday. We were so far away and Hashem rejected him. Now he's close. He's Mudbak v'Shechina. His tefillah, his mitzvahs are meaningful. And the Rambam, in the same chapter in Halacha Vav, HaTshuva Mekareves HaSarachokim, Tshuva brings someone who's distant close. Emesh HaYezeh Sonui Lifnei HaMokol. He was repulsive in the eyes of Hashem. Meshukatz Meruchak V'Toeva. The Rambam uses the harshest adjectives to describe how Hashem rejects this person. Hayom, says the Rambam again, the word Hayom, Hu Ohe Ohuv Nechmad Karov V'Yedid. He's beloved, he's cherished, he's close, he's a good chum. There's a close relationship between Hashem and the Baal Tshuva. Joe, you wanted to say something?
It just sounds like this is the tshuva that he's talking about, the tshuva which everyone has.
That it's universal. You mean for all nations?
Would you not say that the tshuva which the Band-Aid, I thought maybe the Band-Aid would have been better for the Bnei Yisrael. It's a he could fix. The Jew is able to fix himself. He's still himself. He's fixed the. Which one's better? It sounds like the one that everyone has is a better one than the one.
I would say the following. You know, Hashem, I don't have to tell you, as Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachim. Midas HaDin would justify the divine judgment. A person could be held responsible for his actions as long as he exists. You know, I could take a criminal and force him to stand for judgment. But if this person doesn't exist anymore, if he's changed his identity, then would it be fair to condemn him for criminal acts that don't relate to him at all? If he has completely transformed himself, then I would say that even Midas HaDin kicks in here and allows tshuva to work. Where is the special Nesias Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards the Jewish people? That's a gift of Midas HaChesed, Ribono Shelom. You're putting a Band-Aid on a broken bone. How far is it going to go? You know, what you do, you know, you clap al chet, but you're basically the same person that you were before. You know, you still dwell on the past and enjoy the past. You know, you're anticipating who knows what in the fantasies in the future. So good, so right now you did X and you did Y. And we even spoke in the past about maybe X without Y, and Y without X would still be enough. For kapara. Kapara is basically a barrier that or shield that protects you from onsh. It's a machaper. You know, the Rav in his tshuva drushes, which were beautifully put together in Lashon Kosh, he gave it in Yiddish, by Pinchas Peliel of Hashon. Have you seen it, Al HaTshuva? You're familiar with it. Anyway, the first essay in Al HaTshuva is a masterpiece. Everyone is, but that one's the biggest. And the Rav says that the basic fundamental difference between what's called kapara and tahara. He says there's one level of tshuva which is a machaper. It's a machaper, like getting malchus is a machaper, yisurim machaperim. Kapara means to prevent and protect you from punishment. But the person has not changed. There was no internal change in the person. No transformation of personality. Then there's something called Tara. Tara is a whole different entity. The experience of Tara requires a transformation of personality. I would say that that's what we're learning about now. The Rambam in Perek Zion is dedicating himself to Tshuva Shel Tara. Emesh, he was whatever he is. Hayom, he's Ov V'Nechmad Karov V'Yedid. That is the universal capacity of man to completely change himself, to accept upon himself a new identity, Kikot Shenol Adami, in which even according to Midas HaDin, his process is so profound that we can no longer hold him responsible and punish him for what he did yesterday because he's not here anymore. He's gone. That personality is gone. And I say, Rabbosai, that everything that we're studying today about Hashem Melech, or about Yom Taroso, or about Zeh Yom Tchilas Masecho Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem, or the way Rashi says it about Rosh Hashanah Vayehi Hayom in Iyov Perek Aleph is Rosh Hashanah. That experience of Hayom is an experience in which man climbs the mountain, in which he cuts himself off from the past. Everything is in the Hayom, it all is in the today. And I want to embellish this idea about not getting too focused in the past, you know, and what I call obsessively dwelling on the past. In Yiddish we'd say orangutan. He's orangutan in the past. You know, there are people who walk around in the past, there are people who are overridden with anxiety about the future. My father's a Chalav Rachim, one of his drushes, when he wants to, you know, when he wants to dramatize a lack of bitachon, you know, he says, in the old days, he used to get telegrams. So imagine the telegram comes to the thing, and the guy says, oh no, who died? Instead of saying, who got married, or who had a baby, you know, right away he says, who died? You know, he lives in a state of anxiety. He's always worried about the next step, And sometimes I think, by the way, that, again, this is all on the side, that our educational institutions, you know, with all the emphasis on exams and discipline, you know, I'm not saying I'm advocating in favor of an open classroom, but this kind of thing, it generates such anxiety. The poor children, I feel bad for them. You know, there's one yeshiva, I'm not going to mention the name, it's a yeshiva high school in Bnei Brak, where the Menayel was famous as a taskmaster, you know. So they used to say that if you walk down the streets of Bnei Brak and you see a young man who's constantly looking over his shoulder, you know he learned in that yeshiva. This is the kind of anxiety that people live in. But that's not the tshuva of Simcha. That's not the tshuva of Hashem Melech. That's not the tshuva of Hayom. And I was amazed, you know, because all the Makoros that we've been studying today, I mean, with the exception of the Rambam describing this transformation of personality, but all the Makoros that we've been studying today, you know, from the Slonim Rebbe and from the Sakachava, and we're going to soon see this Fasen, these are all Achronim who lived within the last century. But let's turn the clock back 1,000 years to Rabbeinu Yonah, who wrote the magnum opus on Tshuva. He says the following, Rabbeinu Yonah: Adam asher posha v'chata, man sins, ubo lachzos tachas kanfei hashchita, it's about time that he comes back to Hashem, and this is what his desire is, likones l'darkei Tshuva. He says, I'm going to give you an Eitzah. I'm going to give you the proper guidance. And he quotes a Pasuk in Tehillim that he uses to Askilcha v'yarcha v'derech zu telech. This is the path that you should go on. He says, Bayom Ahu, again, it's the same word, Ayom, on that day that he's doing sincere tshuva, and he wants to cut himself off from his sins. Zakra ben Yonah, Yashlich kol pshav asher asa, v'yases atzmo ki'ilu Hayom Nolad, make himself as if today he was born, and therefore he's a tabula rosa in via the los chus v'lo chova ze hayom tchilas ma'asecha. But I'm fascinated by Rabbi Yonah's continuation. He says the derech zu tevienu lashuv b'tshuva shlema, the derech of ze hayom tchilas ma'asecha. Let's start from today, and let's become a katan shenolad dummy. He says that derech will bring him to tshuva shlema, ki hu yasa atzmo kemashlich me'olav kovet havonos. You know, all his pekala of sins are weighing him down. Just chuck him, cast him overboard. Then he says, this is the punchline, v'lo yavhi luhu rayonosav asher lo yanichu loshuv. He says our problem is because there's a behola here, from these ideas that, you know, nobody's going to allow me to do tshuva. Ki yivosh mechatov, he's so humiliated by his sins, by his pekala that he's carrying. Pashati, And Yashov, he begins to entertain, Eich ucha lahoyz panay v'loshu. Do I have the chutzpah to say I'm going to do tshuva, v'ani chatasi, v'avisi, u'pashati? He finds himself repulsive towards himself. You know, he's lacking in the basic sense of image, self-image of confidence. He says, "Kazos v'kazos asisi v'yavarti v'shanisi v'shilashti arein sforos." How many times have I sinned over and over again? I fall prey to the same. Eich avo od lefana v'boshes gan of kivivot. It's like finding a thief, you know, red hot. He's stealing the goods, and you catch the thief. Boshti lama lefana. Eich ermos chatzerov. How can I enter into his courtyard? Eich eshmarchukov. Says Rabbeinu Yonah al Yachshov Kein. You know what? You know who's causing him to be so depressed about the past? Hamesis, which means the Eitzahara, who entices a person. Yoshev, he sits kizvuv b'miftechei alev, like a heart on the opening of a fly on the opening of your heart. Mischadish ol b'chol yom, and he gets stronger and stronger day by day. Vitzofo Mabit, and all this miserable fly, this mosquito, this maces, all he wants to do is look for ways, Tofo Mabit, Lachshilo, Mason Libo Leitz Aruz, or he tries to convince him that you have no shaykhus to tshuva, you're too low down, you've crossed all the red lines, you repeated your sin over and over again. Free yourself from this guy, get rid of this voof. Chak Yachshov, all he should think about, ki kein midas habori yisparach, yodo pshuto lekabel shavim. Hashem is asking him to come today to do tshuva. Is tov lo, what he should do is lahashlich pshuva lasos lo leif chadash. He should throw it all out. Veko yasev yom tarosel. I have a suspicion that Rabbi Yonah is on the same page as the Slonim Rebbe who came 900 years later and says, Yom Tarasso. Today is the Yom of Tara. Get it through your head. Experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a close perspective and say to God, whatever I did in the past, that's it. That's not me. I'm completely cut off. And I want to, if we have 5 more minutes, I want to just add the Sfas Emes and then go back to Chazal in the Medrash Rabbah. The Sfas Emes says that in Parsha Shoftim, amongst those who have to go back from the battlefield, one of them is called Hayore Me'averos Shebiyodo. Right? It is a Yore V'rach Levov, one of whom is a person who is afraid of the sins that he has. And the Sfas Emes says that very often we try to do tshuva, and we experience Rosh Hashanah, we experience Yom Kippur, we want to know, did Hashem accept our tshuva? He says, Hasiman shenimchalo. You know how you could tell that you experience mechila? Kisheino yore, he's no longer overwhelmed by fear. But on the contrary, batuach belibo b'Hashem. He relies on Hashem, that Hashem forgave him for his sins. Ki kefi estalkus hachet miskarev l'Hashem yisbarach. It's the chait that prevents him from coming close. Now he feels close. Apparently the chait was removed. And the Sfas Emes wants to understand this. On the one hand, we're saying that if he's a yore, if he's still feeling this overwhelming fear, apparently he didn't achieve mechila, because had he achieved true mechila for his chait, then he would be eino yore, he would be batuach b'libo b'Hashem. But on the other hand, asks the Sfas Emes, L'chora hu mida tova, Leos yori mechait. We find that Yaakov Avinu and others were yorei mechait. So there's a katzah called yori mechait. He says, ach, you should know, Mishi yesh bo yira karoi. If he really has the sincere yiras Hashem, the Hashem melech philosophy that we spoke about, is, he can't even imagine in his heart, how did he sin? That's a real true Yirei Hashem. How could I have rebelled against the will of God? He says, on the other hand, if you have a person who sins and he's overwhelmed by fear, and he doesn't sense that he's getting to it. He hasn't done tshuva shlema. He gives the example here. If we had more time, we go into this, the parasha of Sarah. You know, Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, tells Sarah that she laughed, you know, when Hashem told her that she's going to have a baby and this and that. So it says, Vatechachesh Sarah v'kirba. And then she denies that she didn't believe it. And she says, Ki Yireya. What does it mean, Ki Yireya? She had true Yira. And if she had true, genuine Yira, she can't even be masig that she lacked in Emunah Bitachon. But just to summarize, what we want to take out of this Fasemis and Pasha Shoftim is that a person has to strive to get to that level where he's not a Yarei Varach Levav. At stage number one, Shema Yigro Machet, he's a Yarei Mechet, he's afraid of Chet, but ultimately when he achieves true tshuva, genuine tshuva, he says, you know, this Chet doesn't even belong to me. It's totally foreign to me. And finally, I wanted to conclude with the words of the Medrash Rabbah. You remember when Yaakov Avinu is called upon by his mother Rivka to go in and take the brachos from Esau. And Vayomer Yaakov al Rivka, Ahenes Vachi, Ish Sa'ir. Sa'ir, he's, you know, very hairy. Vanochi Ish Chalak. What's the difference between an Ish Sa'ir and an Ish Chalak? What's the difference between a Yaakov and an Esau? So the Medrash quotes Rabbi Levi, who in turn quotes a pasuk at the end of Chumash, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, that the word Chalak, with a komatz and a komatz, is an allusion to the same three letters with a tzera and a segel, Chelek Hashem Amo. Says Rabbi Levi, let me give you a mashal to appreciate the difference between Esav and Yaakov. He says, mashal kavatz. Kavatz is someone who's got a lot of hair, which in the Nimshal is going to be Esav. The Kereach has very little hair, maybe has no hair. Hayu omdim al sfas ha-goren, they were standing in a place where the, you know, the goren was where they separated the chaff from the grains, and the chaffs are flying all over the place. The ola ha-motz for kavatz, first and foremost, the kavatz who's full of hair gets hit by a flying chaff. Ministabech misaro, you know, it's like all over his hair. He's got so much hair; it's in there, and he doesn't know how to pull out the stickers from his hair. Ola ha-motz ba-kereach. If this chaff hits the kereach, is nasan yod al rosho? He puts his hand over his head. The aviro, and he just flicks it off. It doesn't get mistabech, you know, complicated into his hair. Kach, he says the following. Esav is a Russian. Esav mislachech ba'avonos kol yimos hashona. The whole year round, there are averos, the chaff represents the averos, and they're all over the place, the whole year round. He can't get rid of them. Emo b'melech l'chaper. Aval Yaakov mislachech ba'avonos kol yimos hashona. But bolo yom ha-kippurim, the Yeshlo Bame Yechaper, Shanemaki Beyoma Ze Yechaper, Lifnei Hashem Titor. Our avoda in these days, culminating in Yom HaKippurim, is to begin with Yira, but to end with Simcha. We have to appreciate that Hashem sees us as Chelek Hashem Amo, and we have to strive to cut ourselves off from sin, to throw ourselves into the present moment, the Hayom, experience it to its fullest, and declare Hashem Melech. And if we do so, in a genuine, profound way, then we rectify the past and we're free from anxiety about the future. This is a great opportunity. And therefore, when we speak about ourselves as being the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, we have to appreciate what that means. That God gave us these days of Rosh Hashanah, Sosmei Tshuva, and Yom HaKippurim as days in which we can experience the Atem Nitzavim Hayom. And if we throw ourselves into the Hayom, and we dedicate ourselves to declaring, God, you are my King, Hashem Melech, with that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, we're going to look at the past and say, it no longer relates to me.